it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, been looking forward to this one. Welcome to episode one of two on the Ultimate Team pitch notes that have just been released. We're going to take our time here to digest the information that's just been released. We've seen a fair bit of this before, but there's more depth. Plus, we've got some very familiar voices on this episode, but ones who haven't necessarily spoken about these topics, so looking forward to hearing their thoughts. And we start with returning foot legend, Air Japes. Welcome.
Thank you much, Ben. Happy to be back. Happy to have some like very meaty things coming to foot this year. So I'm starting to get pretty excited. You know, we're inching ever closer to launch, and that means that, I start to let my inner FIFA hype man, or inner, excuse me, FC hype man, start to get popping.
Yeah, we maybe need a counter of how many times we say the wrong name for the game, because there's going to be a lot, I'm sure. Next up, we have Josh Excels. Welcome back to the pods. Good to have you again.
Yes, nice to be back in familiar surrounds with the comfort blanket of Japes. It was a good deep dive, and I'm kind of looking forward to going through the nitty gritty of it a little bit.
Indeed. And finally, last but very much not least, we have, returning to the podcast after a little while, another familiar voice, Richard Buckley. Hello.
Thank you very much for the invite back.
Very welcome. And let's get straight into it, because there is a lot to get through. We start with evolutions. Now, we know a lot of this stuff actually just throughout this pitch note, because it was explained in the reveal, but we have a lot more detail here, so we'll be able to discuss it in a bit more depth, and it's going to clarify some things that we had questions about previously, so that's good. And in these pitch notes, there's a lot of visuals, so if you want to just search EA Sports FC foot pitch notes or Ultimate Team pitch notes, I'm sure you'll find them. This is a summary. It's not word for word what I'm going to read, just to get us through it a bit quicker and leave a bit more space for discussion. But let's get into it and start with evolutions. As I said, for the first time, you'll be able to improve and customize players from your club. You can take your favorite lower rated players from any club and level them up. Tweak and customize your top players by adding skill moves, changing work rates, and weak for upgrades as a few examples. As you level up your players, you'll earn visual upgrades to show off all the work you've put into them. After you evolve a player once, that's just the beginning. You'll be able to run the same player through multiple evolutions throughout the year. So by the end of the year, you can have unique versions of the players no one else has. Just going into this, in terms of what you'd like to get out of this, I think it'd be interesting to know from each of you when it appears in game. Because Richard, as someone who supports a club who doesn't tend to have a lot of great special items, should we say, I can imagine this is quite exciting. So I can also guess what you might want out of this.
Yeah, I think for me, when I first heard about this, the more I've learned about evolutions, I think as a premise, it's really good. Like the thought of a 90 rated Barnsley player by like May is amazing, because that's something that I would never have the opportunity to do. And I'm sure you'll tell us a lot more information, but I like it. I think it's got a good base. I'm very intrigued to find out how it works.
Yeah, 100%. We'll dive into that in a second. And Josh, what about you? Anything that you're looking for from this, I guess?
I think for me, the opportunity to upgrade good cards for linking that maybe don't tend to get special cards. We tend to know which cards are going to get really good versions throughout the year. And, you know, every year there might be a surprise item, a la Iran. But in terms of like, you know, Vitinha, for example, who was at PSG this year, as a Portuguese PSG player, offered some amazing links to Renato Sanches, Nuno Mendes, then you Portuguese players outside of it, but also from, in terms of the PSG links, you've then got Mbappe and Neymar. It'd be interesting to, from a squad building perspective, just opening up those avenues of maybe not even just choosing a player you feel close to, but choosing a player that would really help your squad if you could upgrade them to a decent enough level to get better chemistry.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a really big use of it. And Japes, What about yourself? Because I know you said before about maybe players who aren't necessarily bad, but just need something in a particular department, like a faster closer, for example.
Yeah, always. Holistically, any level of customization or choose your own path ideals, like I'm here for that. I also think that from a pure gameplay side, like it just adds to variation in the game, which is such a good thing.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, like you're gonna see a bunch of evolved Mbappes or something like pretty quickly. I have like no doubt about that at the top. However, I think for the vast majority of people, you're gonna see more of these, the potential. Like in my head, I'm looking at players like, I don't know, Joshua Kimmich, perhaps. Like what can I do with that? Or Thomas Muller, like can I give him some upgrades, like get him a 5-star weak foot early and some extra pace? Like all of a sudden that becomes like, hey, like I can maybe do something here. And that's really, really fun. I can't wait to be absolutely spanked by one of these like evolved, like random players that I end up thinking about like a month later, that single match. That doesn't happen currently, and that has a potential to do that this year, and that's exciting.
Yeah, from a uniqueness of gameplay perspective, I agree, definitely interesting. Right, let's dive into it then. I've done the introduction, but you can upgrade and evolve your players by committing them to an evolution slot and completing gameplay challenges with that player. Once you complete the challenges, that player will have permanent upgrades. Requirements. Not every player is eligible for every evolution. You'll have to check the requirements to know what players you're allowed to use. An example of this might be evolve any silver player or evolve a left back with 3-star skill moves. A selection of evolution slots will be freely available for players each season, and some will have coin or coin/point requirements. Just like the balance of upgrades coming through SBCs, objectives, and the transfer market, we want to make sure evolution upgrade paths are balanced across Ultimate Team. The challenges. Each evolution comes with a set of levels of challenges for you to complete. They can range from simple play 5 games where you score with this player in your starting 11 to the more challenging win 10 Ultimate Team champs matches with this player. And then complete all of the challenges in a level to earn the upgrades and unlock more levels of challenges to complete. The upgrades. You can claim upgrades for your player after each level of challenge you complete. They will range from overall stat upgrades, like +5 overall, or hyper-specific attribute upgrades, like +5 curve. Skill moves can also be upgraded, work rates, play styles, alternative positions, weak foot, and you can unlock new item visuals and animated backgrounds for your favorite players. Throughout the season, our goal is to keep evolutions feeling fresh and updated. We will be adding more ways for you to evolve your squad throughout the season. Some evolutions might be only available for a limited time and will need to be completed in a specific time frame, or some will need to be enrolled into by a specific time. We'll be sharing more details about evolutions in an upcoming Pitch Notes deep dive. So we will actually get more information about this, but they've done an FAQ, which to make it a little bit more interactive, slightly putting him on the spot here. But Josh, do you want to do a bit of role play? You can ask the questions, I'll respond.
Oh, I thought we were going to keep the role playing between you two offline.
We'll just practice for the main event. And Josh, yeah, start us off with this first question then.
Can I add an evolutions player to the transfer market?
No, once a player has been confirmed in an evolution, it becomes untradeable.
How many players can I evolve at a time?
You can have as many evolution players in your squad as you want, but you can only activate one to upgrade at a time.
Can I switch back and forth between players I want to upgrade, or do I have to finish the entire evolution before I move on?
Well, Josh, you can swap back and forth between your evolutions freely. If you're working on a silver player evolution and don't want to bring them into your champs matches, you can switch to a more appropriate evolution player in your main squad and work on them.
What happens to my progress if I switch which evolution I am working on?
Your progress is saved. When you pick up that player and continue to evolve them, you will start right from where you left off.
Can I withdraw my item from an evolution?
No. Each evolution can be completed by only one player, and you can't withdraw your player or forfeit the evolution.
Can I use evolution players in squad building challenges?
In progress, evolution players cannot be submitted in SBCs. However, once the player item is fully upgraded and the evolution is completed, then you can use them in SBCs.
And do they have time limits?
Yes, evolutions have time restrictions. If the evolution timer runs out, you will earn all the upgrades for levels that you have completed. You will not be able to claim the upgrades for any uncompleted or partially completed levels.
So, can I enroll the same player in multiple evolutions?
Yes. If the player meets the eligibility requirements, it can be enrolled in multiple slots. But a player cannot be in multiple slots simultaneously. A player can be enrolled in a new evolution once their current one is completed.
We're almost there. Is the evolution version of the player a duplicate of the initial item?
No. An evolution is a unique item type.
And how will I know which player I'm upgrading during gameplay?
There'll be an overhead indicator on the player you are actively evolving.
Awesome. Did I get the part?
I mean, that was a real thing. Where was a round of applause? Roleplay Weekly coming soon. Anyway, that was evolutions in a nutshell, I suppose. That's their FAQ. That's all the information we have for now. They're going to do this additional pitch note, but there's quite a lot of information there, really. Does anyone have any further points, I guess, on top of what we've seen so far or heard so far?
I suppose the big things are how quick will the evolutions turn over? If I complete it in a day, 2 days, do I then have to wait until the next season to get a new set to then put my player back in and upgrade him again? Will it sort of scale to the power curve? And then the player requirements, like, is it going to be stat specific for a player? Like, is it going to be an overall, like, will it just be bronze and silver items that you're allowed to put in? Will you be able to use like golds as the year goes on and then golds become eligible? I suppose like that's what the deep dive is going to go into and sort of give the more fine details. I hope that it is kept up throughout the year and sort of kept on top of, which they do say that they're going to, and the goal is to keep evolutions fresh, updated, and sort of constantly keeping with that power curve, hopefully. Because I think if it's not looked after, it's just going to quickly become another part of the game that we don't really look at.
Yeah, you mentioned power curve, and I think it's one of those concerns I have about it, is that with how fast the power curve moved in the early months, Japes, I'm just concerned that the content team are going to struggle to make these appealing enough for committed players, basically.
I think this year we're going to see a much slower increase to the power curve with this being introduced. I'm actually not as worried about it because I think this feels like something they're harping on pretty heavily. And so I think the question is going to be, when new content is introduced, is how is that going to interact with evolutions every single time? And if evolutions are predicated on a season by season basis, we might see some cards introduced at the end of a season that if people still have evolutions available, they could like do really, really well with, but won't be like overpowered still for the next season. If that makes sense. But I'm not so worried about it. It's really just like another thing to take into consideration. And I think they're probably, like, if I'm part of the content team, I'm looking at the way people interacted with World Cup last year and how those cards were perhaps, or even some of the heroes were perhaps like so heavily utilized for so long. And that's bad for like ongoing engagement. You want to constantly have new reasons to upgrade your team. And I think they're going to be saying, we need to have content, but we need to make it like more interesting, or some of the positional switches and evolutions are like a way to keep people continually engaged without releasing like insanely overpowered shiny content cards all the time.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see how playstyles, which we'll get to, fits into that too. In terms of these evolutions, one thing that was clear in the FAQs is that you can't do two evolutions simultaneously or work towards them simultaneously. But it's important to note that there will be multiple slots that you can put players into, and it isn't like, you know, you're going to be able to only upgrade one player across a whole season. But it feels like from the objectives that they shared as examples, these could be things that are fairly passively completed, providing you're not, I guess, hindering your team too much by using the player you want to evolve. But it seems positive in that sense. I mean, maybe there'll be multiple different types which work in different ways and at different levels of commitment, Josh, but it's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll get onto it. The objectives update with how that looks and the things they've added to that. There's definitely a potential that you'll be able to do objectives alongside your evolution. And I think that's kind of what they're going for. I will say, I think there was a screenshot at some point about, or there's something in their notes that they've said about evolutions where they talk about getting champs wins, like getting 10 champs wins or something like that with that player in your squad. So maybe the kind of more, maybe the bigger upgrades, the ones that you are allowed to put in a player who's maybe up to 87 rated or already has really good stats, maybe those will be a little bit more arduous than upgrading a silver card to a decent but not world-breaking 80 rated card that we see with Makoku as the example they've given. I would expect a player of that level to be very easily completed, done fairly passively, one that you can knock out fairly quickly. But if you want to upgrade your Joshua Kimmich, then that will be a little bit more of a tough task to get through, maybe a little bit longer. I think the idea of working them alongside objectives is right. I do kind of wish you'd have been able to do multiple evolutions at one time, because then you could, maybe build your... And, let's say you're a Manchester United fan and you want to get all the Manchester United youngsters and want to just upgrade the Manchester United team. I like the idea of every game you play, you're working towards things with all the different players. I understand why they've limited it to just one, but I think that it is going to be something that can be passive, but I hope they have some of the bigger upgrades and the tougher upgrades be a little bit more, you have to concentrate on them so that there's something to do, in inverted commas.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't seem like, unless I've misunderstood, that there's going to be a system whereby you put in a player and no matter that player's rating, they're going to come out as an 80 rated, for example. It feels like it's always, we're giving this player X increase in their stats, and that increase is set for whatever player you put in, which I think is actually kind of not so good for what Richard would like to do, right? Because if you could bring a player up to a level, then it feels fair, because it's going to be hard to use that like bronze or silver player, or it might be a pain to do the objectives to upgrade them. But then you need to do a lot more to bring that player up to a level where you can then use them. Whereas if it was like, right, you put a player and you get to 80, then that's kind of fair.
When, as Josh was saying earlier, with like the objectives, if you're putting in a better rated player, but you've got to do harder objectives, I think there'd be a lot of players out there that if they knew what they were getting out of it, they would suffer knowing that you're going to get a good reward out of it, if that makes sense. Like, how many people slog away in friendly objectives knowing that they're not liking what they're doing, but they know what they're going to get out of it? So I think they have to be very apparent with, you go through this process, this is almost a guarantee what you're going to get. But it's very ambiguous still.
Yeah, we know how it functions, I guess, but not how it's going to be used. I would say that the screenshots do make it kind of clear in terms of how this will work and the explanation, but it probably isn't completely clear until people get hands-on with it. But you have multiple slots, you put a player into a slot, you'll then complete multiple levels, and at each level for completing it, you'll get an upgrade to the player. You can progress through, I think it shows 3, but maybe there could be more levels with upgrades on the way, and then once the whole thing's complete, or I guess maybe you can withdraw before you complete the whole thing or it expires, you'll get the upgraded player back and they are out of the system, and you could potentially put them into another slot that pops up in the future, or into one straight away, I guess, as long as they meet the requirements for that slot. In the screenshots, one of the things it does show is a +3 shooting for completing one of the levels. And it got me thinking, what does that actually mean? Because as we know, a +3 shooting on the face card can mean a lot of different things for the shooting category. It could be like +8 finishing and +1 shot power, or +8 shot power and +1 finishing. So it'll be interesting to see how these upgrades actually work in practice. So plenty more questions, but an interesting feature. If you have any questions on it, any thoughts, then do send them in all the usual ways, footweekly@mail.com, @footweeklypod, or in the Pod Priority Questions channel in the Discord. Right, let's take a break and come back to talk more info on women in foot and play styles. Hello, listeners. Allow me a little bit of a ramble here because we're heading towards what is FIFA's end game. I mean, not just the end game for FIFA 23, but FIFA entirely. So if you have any thoughts on potentially different topics we could cover over the summer, especially because it's the end of FIFA as we know it, then, you know, please do send in any questions you might have, any topics you want covering, maybe ideas for guests you would like to come on the podcast for a discussion too. Always definitely open to any suggestions listeners might have, and you can send those in via all the usual ways, footweekly@mail.com and at footweeklypodcast on Twitter. At footweeklyben is my Twitter, and you can do the little Q&A thing on Spotify, comment on YouTube, really any way that's easiest for you to get in touch with any topics, any guests, anything along those lines. And look forward to seeing those. And if you would like more Foot Weekly content, including past Foot Weekly content, we've got some specials from previous summers, which are still very much relevant. That connection episode went down really well. People have improved their gameplay experience massively because of that. So do check those out. And you can go to support Foot Weekly. Just search that in Google and it'll take you to Patreon, where you can sign up for just £3 a month. You'll be supporting the podcast, keeping it going. And if you do consider doing that, then that is greatly appreciated. And let's jump in to the rest of this podcast. Hello, welcome back after the break. Women in foot. There's actually not too much extra information here, but we'll have a chat about it. We have confirmed here, though, the five new leagues. The Barclays Women's Super League, which is obviously England. The D1 Arkema, which is France. The Google Pixel Frauen Bundesliga, which is Germany. The Liga F, which is Spain. And National Women's Soccer League, which is the United States. And then we'll also get a select number of clubs and their players from the UEFA Women's Champions League. In terms of chemistry, women's players, and I'm summarizing here because it is actually quite simple, work like men's players, basically. But the way they interact is naturally a little bit different. Men's and women's players from the same nation and club will link together, exactly as you'd expect. But leagues won't link. So Lauren James, who, like her brother, is at Chelsea, would give and get club and nation chemistry from Reece James, right? So England, they would link, they would get chemistry. Chelsea, they would link, they would get chemistry. But because the leagues are different, it's the Women's Super League and the Premier League, they don't get league chemistry. I think that is actually quite simple in a way. And maybe it's a bit confusing seeing both Chelsea badges on the players, but the league not actually giving chemistry. But you do now, of course, have the league on the card. So maybe that makes it a bit more straightforward to think about. In terms of how men's and women's football players are integrated across the features in Ultimate Team, I was looking through this list, Josh, and I'm pretty sure you can basically say it's exactly the same as men. There's no difference at all.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's different about it, the only thing where it doesn't work the same as men, is that you have a different league but the same club. That's the only part of it really where it's not quite what we've been used to. But
yeah.
I mean, from everything else, they are literally in everywhere from draft, packs, you can use them for moments, SBCs, for objectives. So there's just a whole new raft of players now that you can pack and use in whatever area of the team you want to.
Yeah. And then the final bit is on Ultimate Team ratings. All players in Ultimate Team are rated relative to the leagues and competition they play against on the real world pitch. The best players from the best leagues across the men's and women's game will bring their ratings to the same virtual pitch in Ultimate Team. Base player ratings will be consistent with kickoff in EA Sports FC 24, where men's and women's teams play independently. So, for example, if a player is 85 rated in kickoff, they'll also have a base rating of 85 in Ultimate Team. Look out for the ratings reveal in September.
I think they've got to be a little bit... I know they've gone for this a few times, and I understand what they're getting at, but that first line in the how do the ratings work... All players in Ultimate Team are rated relative to the leagues and competitions they play against on the real world pitch isn't actually true, because a League One player, as in the third tier in England, isn't rated based on his league. He's rated based on men's football across the world. I understand what they're getting at. It's just a bad way of wording it. And with the lack of acceptance, let's say, by a portion of the player base towards women coming into Ultimate Team, I do think it's something that they should be a little bit more militant about how they talk about it.
Yeah, and I think in a way, it just seems silly to have these kind of conversations because in my view, this is such a great step for the women's game, for interest in it. All these kind of conversations just feel a bit irrelevant and kind of mundane, right? I mean, women's football was banned by the FA in the 20s. There's been all these obstacles to the women's game's growth, which has caused a relative lack of investment, I guess, and interest compared to the men's. But actually, when put in front of people, that interest has grown and it's become more and more popular. And I think these ratings conversations are going to happen, so we should talk about it a little bit. But what I would say about it is, and I think you're touching on this, Josh, really, the way they can talk about this, if they want to do it in a way that maybe some people who are detractors would understand, is to say, well, we rate them in relative terms, just like we do for icons. Because let's be honest, none of these icons who are very, very fast would be nearly that fast if they were put up against modern day players, because the infrastructure these modern day players have, and I guess stamina might be another one, is just so far clear of anything else that's probably ever existed, and the scouting networks to find these players and all that sort of stuff. So it is relative, and foot is very much a relative game. And at some point it just gets extremely silly anyway. So it's all just kind of a bit irrelevant. But Japes, any further points on this?
To your point, Ben, it's going to be like fantastic for the women's game. And I am frankly just like trying my best to tune out the folks that are would prefer stay under rocks.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, I work for Nepenthes, and he was doing a live stream reaction to the presentation. And it probably affects me a little bit too deeply, the reaction that you get from a good portion of people that play the game. And I know most of them are children, but the like vitriol with which they are treating women being introduced to Ultimate Team is just saddening, like for humans in general, that we decide we need to compartmentalize each other, and that like there is a discussion to be had here about whether it's a true reflection and whether it's exactly what you want to be playing. I can almost get to that point if you're putting your argument out there and talking about it in a clear manner and have legitimate points, but it's the vitriol with which people talk about it is really, it's genuinely upsetting, because I thought people were better than this despite all the evidence to the contrary. And I just think that if you're listening to this podcast and you don't like it, I respect that you don't like it. That's not a reason to then go L women, hate women in the game. Women should never be in the, like, you have to put your point across in a way that makes sense and not just be sexist, which is what a lot of the comments are. And it's really disturbing the way that a lot of young men are treating this, and I just think we should be better than it.
Yeah, very well said.
There's like a culture within the, like, maybe it's like gaming writ large, but definitely within the FIFA community, of complaining about everything and being hyper vocal online, especially because it feels like there are no consequences. And I suppose in many times, like, there aren't. And if there is a consequence, they just spin up a new account to voice a same opinion or get a reaction or whatever it might be. I would love there to be more accountability. I don't know what steps EA would take to deliver on that. But I think part of our job as, you know, members of the community, or perhaps like leaders of the community that are more visible than others, is to like lead by example here. And it's easy to stay silent and say nothing. It is important, if we want like a culture shift within this community, to be more vocal about it. And frankly, I think we do it generally a pretty good job on this podcast, but it's not something that I expect across the entire community.
Yeah, a good point, well made. And actually, from a more practical perspective in terms of impact on gameplay, I know balancing could be a concern potentially, but how are we feeling about the overall impact?
I am getting more excited for how this is going to work, just because I think it adds like more variability to the game.
I think one just final thing. We're playing a game at the end of the day. How often, I've been on the podcast a lot over the last couple of years, is there a sort of a common complaint when we get into January, February? We're all just using the same teams. We've now got like double the amount of players in the game. We have got so many more players to use at a very high level. Like a lot of these women are going to be super high rated and really good in game. It brings a level of freshness that we've not had in, I mean, years. It's only a positive. Just if you're literally just playing the game and you don't even like football and you just play EAFC, you're getting a much better gaming experience as well.
Yeah, that is a fair point. I mean, while the number of players in terms of actual raw numbers is, I think, 1,600, and the database is like, I don't know, 16,000 or something like that, the number of gold players being added because of this is really quite high. And this has actually been something that people have spoken about as a sort of negative, right, Josh, that this is going to dilute my packs. Quite a narrow-minded statement anyway, because obviously a lot of these women's players will be very good, so having them in your packs isn't a bad thing. But it's a fair point that there's more gold players, and so theoretically the top players would be less easy to pack. But I would assume that EA can't have things work like that. Like, they have to obviously make it possible to pack good players, otherwise the game doesn't work.
I think the idea that EA would need to add more players to make the top cards more difficult to pack is a very flawed one to begin with. They can change the odds of your pack weight however they want. There's thousands of gold cards currently in the game. So the idea that adding a couple thousand more is going to change the drop weight is just not how their odds work for their packs. There is an odd, you know, percentage chance of you packing a player of a certain rating. And guess what? If players are more difficult to pack, that's probably better for the game overall, because it will keep the power curve a little bit relaxed and not get to the point where gold cards, every gold card in the game is under 100k by the time we hit, what, February, other than Mbappe.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, some people may say that's a good thing, but your original point about them balancing the pack weight of desirable players themselves independently, regardless of the addition of women, is definitely a good point. Like, there is no way they are going to not consider this when weighting how common the top players are in packs, right? They need to make sure people can pack the top players. I know it seems like maybe they don't want people to, but that is how the ecosystem operates. So I'm not worried too much about that. And actually, on that, we can move on to the next topic, which is playstyles. Obviously, something we've talked about in the past, but here's some more foot-specific info. So let's dive into it. Each of the playstyles affect gameplay, giving players unique capabilities you'll see and feel that make their way of playing more authentic. Playstyles Plus enhance those signature abilities to a world-class standard. Think of Sam Kerr's power header or Haaland's acrobatic ability, reflecting elite player abilities to play at a level that few players can reach. Playstyles are going to change how you glance at items. From scanning across the transfer market or eyeing up your opponent's squad in the pre-match flow, you're going to want to pay attention to which playstyles a player has. In this article, we will focus on how they will change your experience in Ultimate Team. For more details on how playstyles and Playstyles Plus impact gameplay, please check out the Gameplay Deep Dive, which we spoke about on the podcast. If a player has a Playstyle Plus, an icon is displayed on the face of the item. You can find further details on playstyles in one of the item views, as well as in the player bio. Although only the best players will have a Playstyle Plus at launch, we will be releasing more versions of players with diverse playstyles in our campaigns throughout the year. You'll also be able to customize your players in Evolutions and add different playstyles to them throughout the year. Actually, Richard, let's come to you, because you actually did get an opportunity to play the game as well. And unlike me, you weren't playing it in Amsterdam, where you would have had a more limited opportunity. So I guess you jumped on and played in the comfort of your home. How did you find playing with playstyles?
So I actually played it in Saudi Arabia.
Unless you moved there, then...
got a day off during the FIFA finals, and definitely over 10 90-minute games played. Some of the playstyles were super, super noticeable. In particular, Rodri, he had the Power Shot Plus, and it was when you did a power shot, you were able to power it up so fast. Like you were doing the power shots within maybe a second, if that, and the accuracy was incredible. So that is one that I would be looking at straight out of the box. Any player who's got Power Shot Plus, like, they're going to be insane. The pinged pass was really nice. This is the pass that travels much faster along the ground without impacting the trapping difficulty of the receiver, so they're able to just take it in the stride really quickly. That was a nice one. I think the play styles, honestly, I think there'll be probably a third, I'll say, of the play styles that aren't really that important. I think there'll be a third of the play styles that are nice to have on a player. For example, the trickster one, it's not going to be sort of game-breaking. It's not going to be incredible, but you'll be able to like show off with it. And then I think there'll be a third of the play styles that are just insane, that you attacking players, the power shot, the finesse shot, the traveller, it's just really worthwhile having. Hopefully EA know this and limit the amount of people that get these play styles. But I mean, we were playing with Man City and Rodri had the Power Shot Plus. Rodri, he's got a good long shot on him, but I wouldn't necessarily put him in that category of outstanding outside the box shooter. The plus play styles in general from that Man City and PSG team, maybe five or six players, they weren't all over the pitch. So that does give me confidence that, I mean, you've got two of the best sides on the game there, and not every player has a play style plus, but the play styles will determine a lot.
Yeah, you're right. And I think they are going to be the biggest gameplay impact for sure that we've had in a little while. Like, some of them felt, as you say, really, really good. Obviously, there's going to be balancing, I guess. We're playing an early build. We've got the beta to come. This is pre-beta, obviously, and things will change. But yeah, there were certain ones, like, I guess you noticed the quick step with Mbappe, where whenever he...
Yeah, launch past players. Yeah.
Yeah. He's already fast, but like that makes him faster in the first few yards when running in a straight line, basically.
Yay.
Yeah, it was actually quite crazy. So, yeah. But also the nice thing about these is obviously they're going to be offered through evolutions. You can't apply them like a chemistry style, but new versions of players will have them, and you can potentially upgrade through evolutions players to have these too. So, yeah, definitely interesting additions. There are loads of them. We went through them actually in that supporter pitch note read through that we did, and you can also find descriptions of them on the EA website and also on foot.gg/playstyles, in fact. So anything on playstyles, Japes, you wanted to add, other than, you know, concern about Mbappe, I guess?
I don't know if Mbappe is just a concern or a nuisance at this point. I think playstyles are cool. Like, if it should, you know, you think about the, like, what is the pinging the passes one or whatever. And like, really, if you take a step back and you think about, you know, yourself as a player and really like a manager of your quote unquote, like, ultimate team, you can really hone in on getting specific types of players for specific roles to play a specific way. It adds a whole level of depth to the game. And like, me being somebody who likes to take like long power shots against these, you know, if you find that you're, say it becomes meta where somebody is playing just a super deep counterattacking style, shocking, that would never happen. You could have a midfield full of players that can do that and just rain, like, you know, fire down on your opponents from outside the box before they can really appropriately react to it. So more ways to break down opponents, more ways to play specific styles. Like, you know, the hype level's high here.
Yeah, I also think that big thing that we talked about before, Josh, but differentiating between players, once we get towards the top end of the overall rating, stat ratings, all that kind of stuff, things like this make the difference. And all we've really had to do that previously is like finesse shot, outside foot shot, I guess. And I suppose we had Accelerate this year, but
yeah, and skill moves.
Oh,
and
yeah,
weak
of course,
foot,
yeah.
But yeah, it's that extra addition that allows you to differentiate between players that have very similar stats. You know, the reason why Petr Cech is one of the best strikers in the game, despite only being 94 rated, there are 97, 98 rated strikers who are nowhere near as effective. And it's due to these things that are outside of stats. And for some people, that's going to be frustrating. And it's not exactly the way I think it should necessarily work. But they are leaning into that heavily with the playstyles and the playstyle plus. And you know, I think it was inevitable that they were eventually going to, that they've confirmed now they're only going to add the plus playstyles on promo cards. And so we'll have the cards that just have them naturally, and then we'll have promos as they are slowly introduced.
Just to go back to, you know, Ben, you asked a comment about evolutions and like power curve. If these are only being released at certain times, like it allows them to keep the power curve much, much lower. Mm. Introducing something that's potentially highly desirable for these cards that can make the game feel far different for users.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about it earlier on as well. Like, it will be one of those things where you don't need to upgrade a player much, but maybe you add, I don't know, one specific one like that power shot playstyle, and suddenly people are like, oh yeah, this is really desirable. So you're right, it gives them the opportunity to kind of stagger the power curve a bit more maybe. And also they're so obvious, the pluses, because they're on the card, on the design, which is just going to be a huge draw for people. There are so many casual players out there who don't really look into in-game stats, but, you know, if you see, what is it, I don't know, like some kind of ox symbol on the, what is that? Like it's a kind of ram or something on the power header. You're suddenly like, oh, yeah, that's great. Like, I want that. So, yeah. It's going to add a different dynamic for sure. We're probably ready to wrap up this episode. We're going to talk more about this on the next episode. Not necessarily playstyles, but you know, we'll probably talk about them in the future. So any questions on these, get them in. But there are loads more things that have actually changed in Ultimate Team, including a lot of like really nice little tweaks, which I'm excited to chat about. And then we'll move on to talking more broadly about foot and things we'd like to see. So yeah, thank you very much for now to these guests we have on this podcast, and they'll be back very shortly. Richard, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, as always. Always good talking FC.
Indeed. Yeah, very nicely done. Yeah, I guess you have to professionally get on top of that. That name changed.
Yeah. I'm not allowed to call it FIFA anymore.
At least I can edit it out. But, and to Josh as well, thank you very much.
Yes, yeah, looking forward to... I just want to get my hands on the game. I'm hoping to get one of those
sweet beta
codes soon. So.
And to Japes as well, good to have you back on. And yeah, looking forward to you coming back.
Thank you much, Ben. It's FIFA season, so... I will be here.
Is it?
Ah, it's twice one episode for me. I'll get there. Hopefully by the time the actual game launches, my vocabulary will have appropriately shifted.
Yeah, I'm certainly hoping so. That does wrap us up. As I said, the follow-up episode will be out very soon, and you can catch that on the various podcast platforms. So if you aren't subscribed already via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, then please do. Plenty more EA FC content to come, and that's all thanks to our supporters keeping this podcast going. A huge, huge thank you to all of you. And if you're interested in becoming a supporter, just £3 a month for double the content, then just search Support Foot Weekly. A huge thank you to those Icon patrons: Dave B, Hugh J, Coach Vass, DJ FIFA Player, Alan G, Alistair, Anthony R, Dominic P, Rob P, Jeff B, Stephen F, Tom B, Damon H, David S, Nick Jack M, Eric T, Neil P, Adam G, Kirky87, Dan W, Waterman, N Hagman, Harry A, Jake G, Roger D, Springford, Elec, Bracco, Nishant, Harry P, Alex M, Lee A, Brendan W, Andrew C, Joe W, Timothy J, Dylan, J Kell, Ibis24, Adam R, Sam K, Graham W, Andy, Ads H2K, and Brian V. Plus a special thanks to Luke M, Dave B, Hugh J, Tom M, Darren W, and Pato Foot for advice and production assistance. Before I leave you, just one more thing to add, though. FIFA's a bit like life, really. It has its many ups and its many downs. If you're having a few more downs than ups in real life in these more difficult times, then please don't feel that you're alone or need to struggle on without taking action. If you go to thecalmzone.net, there's loads of resources, advice, support, or even just a friendly chat for anyone who needs it. If it sounds like it could help you, then head over to thecalmzone.net. And for now, have a good one, and I'll catch you on the next podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.